Welcome back, 417, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and on this Wednesday afternoon, I'm joined by the one and only Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor for the opinion pages. And I bet you got an earful today watching the president at the White House, and I'm sure you'll have something to say about that, huh, Emily?
I have a few things to say. I mean, it was pretty historic. I mean, we have not seen a president. It's been almost 20 years since a president started calling for restricting the Second Amendment at the White House or at all. So, you know, it is quite a development in, you know, our civil liberties.
Yeah. I did notice, and much to my surprise, honestly, he deferred quite a bit to Congress. I actually thought that it would be more of a power grab. He did issue 23 executive orders. Some I find just, you know, bogus. Others, you know, I mean, look, I as a gun owner, I really don't have a problem with background checks. I just don't. And so if they want to expand that a bit, it doesn't really do a whole lot to me. It may bother some people. It just really doesn't bother me a whole lot. But I mean,
it may not bother you, but explain it. Like, think about it. Say we live in the same state and I want to sell you my gun. And say we live in Virginia, a state where you don't register a gun. So the government doesn't know that I have a gun. They do. I live in D.C., but if I lived in Virginia and you lived in Virginia, in what way could they enforce that I go to the government before I sell you my guns? They don't even know the guns exist, either of us.
Yeah, no. I totally understand that.
It's like such a nonsensical thing to do. I mean, it's completely unenforceable, and it just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I don't think it's going to make any bit of difference. And that's not how any of these guns have been taken away, have been used in mass shootings. If you're just talking about crimes on the streets, do you really think the guy, I mean, first of all, the criminals on the streets buy them from each other, and you really think they're going to, like, stop and call their cell phone and call the FBI and do a NICS check on each other? I mean, it's absurd.
No, of course not.
You know, it's one of these feel-good things that has absolutely nothing to do with fact. It has nothing to do with enforcement. It will do nothing. But, you know, it feels good, and so we're going to announce it at the White House. But you know what? Congress is, they're getting a lot of pressure on the president. You heard him today. Call your congressman. Call your representative. Yeah. Put the pressure on. And, you know, they may, like, you're saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Well, you know what? It is an infringement of our Second Amendment rights. And, you know, every little bit starts peeling away and peeling away. And that's what he's doing. He's using the emotions, preying on the emotions of everyone on that horrible tragedy in Newtown in order to start, you know, peeling away the Second Amendment.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Senator Jim Inhofe was on with me about a half hour ago, and he said that people have been calling his office all day telling him to support the executive order stuff. And he goes, I haven't even gotten the list, Andy. He goes, I haven't even seen the 23 executive orders, and I already have people calling my office pushing for my support.
That's amazing. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me because, again, you know, the president, he didn't even tell the American public what they were.
No, I had to get the list. I had to get the list and read it a little while ago.
Right. Oh, I got the list and I read it. But, I mean, I've looked on the White House website. It's not public. And he did not say what they were, and yet he told the American public to call everyone. So, you know, all these people who are just like, if I call my congressman, it'll stop shooters.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're talking about. Well, they don't even know what's in it.
Yeah.
One thing that's in it that is very scary is it authorizes Attorney General Eric Holder, of all people, to investigate the categories of, quote, dangerous people who are not allowed to have guns in case those categories need to be changed. Now, as we all well know, Holder is the one who decided that it was not dangerous to give Mexican drug traffickers so-called assault weapons. He didn't think that was dangerous. So who in the world is he going to think is, quote-unquote, dangerous enough? I mean, you get put on a list, you'll never get off that list unless you can't own a gun.
Yeah. You know, by his own admission, I found this kind of funny because the way they, in a peculiar way, the president started by saying, you know, we can't stop all of this. You know, he admitted that, you know, you really can't stop all of it, but what we're going to do is we're going to throw 23 executive orders at it, and we're going to get Congress involved, and we're going to push for all these changes, and, you know, at the end of the day, it probably won't do anything. You know, it was interesting. I don't know if you caught Newt Gingrich yesterday on CBS. I want you to hear this soundbite. I think this is so good.
Well, I think it's amazing that we're having all this discussion about gun control. The president's hometown of Chicago is the murder capital of the United States. Over 500 people were killed there last year. Vice President Biden doesn't seem to want to go there. I'm trying to get the House Republicans to hold hearings there. It's illegal to have all the guns that are killing people in Chicago. If gun control works, Chicago ought to be safe.
Yes. If gun control works, Chicago ought to be safe. So, you know, I don't know.
That's logic.
Yes.
You know, and that's facts. And those are not being used by the left right now. And we just saw this yesterday in New York. Cuomo at 5 o'clock last night signed a sweeping new bill, all based on using the emotions of the Sandy Hook shooting. They're banning magazines over 7 rounds. They're banning all assault, so-called assault weapons. So any weapon that has any kind of cosmetic feature, banned. I mean, there are drastic, radical changes going on, fingerprinting everyone who buys a gun, keeping a record of every ammunition sale. I mean, this is the stuff that they are using. They've been preparing for years for this.
Mm-hmm.
These things will not stop criminals. They are not. As we see in these, quote, gun-free zones, like, look at, as you just said, news said, look at Chicago, look at D.C. D.C. is a gun-free zone. D.C. is the last place in the country where you are not allowed to take your gun out of your home at all. And our violent crime rate last year was up 8%.
Yeah.
Our assaults with a gun were up 20%. So how is that working so well? The thing is, what they don't understand, well, no, I think they do understand, but they're not, they don't care to explain this to American people, because I think they deliberately confuse the American people into believing that, one, there's somehow automatic weapons, military weapons being used in this country. Two, that criminals are walking down the street with these large rifles, you know, and assault, they call them assault weapons and call them military style to confuse people. I mean, you heard the president say today, we shouldn't have these military type weapons. They should be in a theater of war, not a movie theater. Well, I mean, first of all, if we sent, if the commander-in-chief sent everyone in the war in, with the exact same guns that were used in Aurora to war, they'd be slaughtered because they're semi-automatic weapons, meaning one trigger is one pull, is one bullet. That is what he's talking about. It makes absolutely no sense. And they're not being used. I mean, their style, it has nothing to do with function, but this is a fear tactics and a fear mongering that they're using.
Yeah. And you know,
they've been waiting for this opportunity and they got it.
Yeah. A little while ago, Bob Schieffer of CBS News, you know, he was gushing over the president's speech today. He thought it was one of the best speeches ever. But he compared the fight, you know, to end gun violence, to getting bin Laden and fighting the Nazis, and, you know, and indirectly points the finger to organizations like the NRA. And I got to tell you something, the left has done one heck of a job of demonizing the NRA over the past couple of, well, the past month.
Well, that's true. And what they keep forgetting about the NRA is the NRA is not made up of lobbyists. The NRA is made up of law-abiding gun owners,
yep.
4.3 million at last count. So by saying things like this, they're alienating an enormous part of the population. You know, 47% of the country admits, and that's only admits, to having a gun in the home. So they, when they call them Nazis, they're calling an average American law-abiding people Nazis. And, you know, of all things to say, it's so sick because when Hitler, you know, took control, the first thing he did to get to the Jews was disarm them. All their guns are registered. He went in and he took their guns. And if you ask any Holocaust survivor, child or grandchild of a Holocaust survivor, they will say for only thing you need to have to prevent tyranny, to prevent the Holocaust from happening again, is to make sure you have the right to keep and bear arms. So it is so insulting to their memories and so ignorant of him to say this. And Bob Schieffer should apologize.
Yeah. By the way, the NRA ad, I don't know if you've seen that or listened to it, about the president's kid getting protection at their school. It's not only directed, you know, toward the president. Look, we have a lot of the rich and famous, including David Gregory, who have children in that school. And even if the president's children didn't attend Sidwell Friends, there would still be an armed presence there in the form of a security team that they've employed for a long period of time. But yet the left on TV this morning, I mean ABC, on CBS, on NBC, on MSNBC, they ripped the NRA for this, saying it was a personal attack on the Obama family. And that really, you know, I don't think they really saw what was behind that ad.
No, I mean, I thought the ad was very effective because it points out that Obama's both a hypocrite and an elitist because these private schools all have armed security. I mean, all of them. And this is where the president can't send his children to public school. There's plenty of good elementary public schools in this city, in Washington. And, but it is hypocrisy, and plenty of public schools have armed security. And, No, as other people have said, like, we have armed guards for our bank. I heard Hannity saying this yesterday, for our bank, for our money, but we don't have them for our children in our schools. And you're right, the left says in the NRA on their that same website now has a new ad since this morning, which is longer, which shows all the things the pundits have said about what Wayne LaPierre suggested about having armed guards in our schools, calling him nuts, calling him evil, calling him crazy. Well, the thing is, it's like you ask people, well, if someone's coming at you with a gun, would you rather be armed or not armed?
Yeah.
And I can't think of anyone who'd say, I'd rather be disarmed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. What are you going to do? Jump on them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's always good in theory until it's your life and your family and your home, you know? And so, you know, the NRA is the biggest fight, I think, in their existence that they're going through right now. But, you know, I think it's just always good to remember that this is not a bunch of lobbyists. It's a bunch of law-abiding members.
Yep.
Who have guns to defend themselves, defend their families, and protect themselves from government tyranny. And, you know, they are the ones whose voices need to be heard. That's who, you know, Mr. Inhofe should be hearing from.
Yep.
When the phone rings.
Yep.
You know, and that group of people.
Yep. All right, Emily, out of time for this week. Always great to have you. We'll do it again next Wednesday. You take care.
Thanks, Sandy. Bye-bye.
Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor for the Opinion Pages.